ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We're all in trouble, just like Rahab. We're no different. We're no better than she was. We're sinners, and our sin has separated us from God. And Jesus is the answer. The problem for those who have come to saving faith is that many don't like to get their hands dirty. They don't want to come in contact with sinners. And they have elevated themselves above others. We're all sinners. Jesus, Almighty God, came and touched our lives, huh? And we think we're so special that we can't touch others. That was the Pharisees of Jesus' day, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. You know, tuck my robe in. I don't want to touch any sinners with my robe because that would make me unclean. They were upset with Jesus. They rebuked him because he ate with tax collectors and sinners. Doesn't this man know that this woman here is a prostitute? How could he be with her? Right? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Sinners. He came to save sinners. And to save them, don't you have to be in contact with them? We have developed a society today with all our technology that our contact with people is this. Have you ever reached out and just touched someone? Gave them a hug? It's really hard to hug someone with a phone, isn't it? Can't you see that? Come on, look, I'm hugging you. It's not the same thing, is it? But I'll tell you what, when your heart's broken and someone comes and gives you a big hug, wow. Yesterday, my family did a wonderful thing for me. My birthday's not till Halloween, but they had a surprise party for me. Surprise, it's not really your birthday, but we're having a birthday party for you. The most wonderful thing was just going around and hugging each family member, reaching out and touching them. It was the greatest gift I had. My one brother I haven't seen for 14 years. The last time we were all together was 14 years ago. After my dad died, my mom took us all on a cruise. 14 years ago was the last time all of us were together, all four of us. It was the most wonderful thing. And my brothers are not really huggy people, but I kind of am. So I don't really care. You're getting a hug. And they hugged me. And it was great. You have to reach out and touch people. Show that you care for them. Show them that you love them. I mean, you can't imagine how much God loves you, loves people. I mean, think about this. The first character we're introduced to in this book, Moses is dead, but the first character is Joshua. Joshua is a type of Christ. The next person we're introduced to, Rahab, a Gentile sinner. That's pretty interesting. And what is God doing with this woman? Saving her from the wrath that's to come, the judgment that was coming upon this wicked city, Jericho. And what we see here in Joshua and into the New Testament is that love of God for a lost world. And his love is seen in what he's done. Never lose sight of that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, here's God. His arms are open wide. Come. Come unto me. Receive me into your life. I've paid in full the penalty for your sins. God came to save sinful man. And all you have to do is repent and receive that free gift, asking him to be Lord and Savior of your life. It's his desire. Peter says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You hear people say, oh, God's not fair. Look at man, he's sending people to hell. No, he's long-suffering. He's patient. He's waiting. His desire is that all would come to saving faith, but he will never force anyone to saving faith. It's a choice you have to make on your own. It's your free will. We also have to understand there is coming a day of judgment. And Peter said in 2 Peter that the day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens are going to pass away with great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And I think this is looking towards the eternal state. God creates a new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem that you read about in Revelation chapter 22, I believe it is. Wonderful day. But judgment's coming. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The big question is, are you prepared to meet your Maker? Because you need to be. And God desires that you come to saving faith. And think about it. You know, for us as Christians, how do we evaluate spiritual success? How many people go to your church? How big is your building? Do you have a television ministry? You know, do you have a radio ministry? How big is your budget? Do you have this? Do you have that? Spiritual success is people. It's never about buildings or things. It's always about people. God came to save people, right? And what I mean is this. Are we concerned for the lost? Are we out rescuing people from the coming judgment? Because I'll tell you what, if you truly believe judgment is coming, you need to be out there. But let's say you don't believe that his judgment's coming. Do you really know for certain that the people you come in contact with will be alive tomorrow? That's the bigger issue. You don't. You know, I look at Carl. Carl today is one of the Roman Catholic churches. They invited him to play some Christian music. And, you know, Carl is going to share. You know, we pray for boldness. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he needs more boldness, but yeah, Lord, give him boldness. Will he ever be invited back there? Maybe not. But they invited him to share the gospel, not to share the gospel, to share his music ministry. And through that, he's sharing Christ. Because it's not about the music. The music is a vehicle to bring people to Jesus. And if you only had one opportunity, don't you want to use it? I look at some of these, you know, popular pastors who are on these talk shows and stuff, and they're afraid to talk about sin. They're afraid to talk about Jesus being the only way. Why? Because I won't be on that show anymore. People won't like me. So you're letting the fear of man drive what you say instead of the fear of God lead you in what to say. Because if one person gets saved, does it matter if everyone else hates you? Absolutely not, because one person coming to know the Lord, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. There's a hallelujah wave going on up there. Everyone's like, woo! Come on. Let's get our focus right. It doesn't matter how popular we are in this life. Because you know what? We die and everyone forgets us. You know, it doesn't matter. But the Lord never does. So who are we serving? Why are we so afraid? And think about, do we have prejudices? Yes. Ugh, I don't know if I could talk to that person over there. Look at the way they're dressed. I mean, I've never seen hair that color before. Those earrings. That guy has some nice earrings, but I don't think I'd wear them. And so we've got these prejudices, you know, that keep us away, make us uncomfortable, because they don't dress like us. He's probably saying the same thing about us, right? Look at how those people are dressed. Wow. A writer from the second century put it like this. As the first Joshua sent his spies before him, and they were received into the harlot's house, so the second Joshua sent his forerunners, whom the publicans and harlots gladly received. Who are we going to? We're going to sinners. That's our Lord, our Yeshua, coming to save sinners. He came to save you and me. And he wants us to go out and bring that good news, the gospel message to the lost and dying world. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus opens this up, these words that he spoke before he gave the Great Commission, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And the word for authority speaks of an official right or power. He has the official right. He has the official power to do these things because he's God. All authority that's out there has been given to Jesus. He wants us to understand that before he gives the next command. And it is. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's not a good idea, but it's a command. Think of it like this, an officer reminding a private of his rank before he gives the order. Absolutely. And that's what we see here. He has all the authority, and thus he can send whomever he wills to do whatever he pleases. And that's what he's telling us. Go. Because he has that authority to make all nations, make disciples of them. And really, the word go should be better translated as you are going. Think, well, what's the difference? What does that mean? As you're going to work, as you're going to school, as you're going to the store, as you're going to the neighbors, wherever you're going, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news with others. Let them see Jesus in you. We're to be going out, not staying in. And it's everyday living. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Make disciples of them. You know, as you share your faith and they come to saving faith, then you need to take them kind of under your wing and teach them the things of God. That's an important aspect. Baptizing them. Baptizing not for salvation, because Jesus saved them. They're already saved. But now baptism is an outward showing of what's taken place in your heart already. Letting people see that. It was a big thing back then. It's kind of, let me put it in terms of how we look at things today. A Muslim coming to saving faith in Jesus and being baptized. I renounce all the other gods I worshipped, and now I worship the true and living God. I am dead to the old life as I go down into the waters of baptism. I'm being brought up new. A new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, you are identifying yourself to the world now that you're a Christian, that you're a Christ follower. That's why, you know, when we do baptisms, we love to go out into Lake Michigan and get the worship team out there. We do some worship songs. I share a message. People are watching. They hear music. They come and see what's going on. And then we go out into the lake and we baptize people. Because it's a witness to the world of what's taken place in your life. And I think it's really important that our love for God is so intense that he just flows from our lives and touches the lives of others. And one of my passions when I first came up here to Manitowoc was that a large portion of our budget would go to missions. And we've been really pretty good, mostly like 18-20%, sometimes I think it was 25% of our budget went into the mission field. You know, we support missionaries in India and Jordan, China, Ukraine, Haiti. We send out CDs every week. We send our written notes to men who are in prison each week. We've been to Russia, Haiti, Mexico with the gospel. We have outreaches. And mostly, and to me this is probably the most important thing, one-on-one contact. We felt that the radio station was a witnessing tool. On 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with Bible teaching. We really felt that there were other Christian stations that did music. And so we wanted a primary focus on teaching. And I can't tell you how many people who don't come here listen to the station. They call me, they tell me, they write me letters. It's pretty incredible. Conrad had mentioned, hey, why don't we put speakers out here? And I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't know. And then I thought, well, the gas station has them. Yeah, let's do it. Put speakers, put a bench out there. People walk by, they hear the station. They can sit down, relax, listen to the station. You never know. Our webpage, we have all our audio files. We have our written notes. We have video files on the entire Bible. All free for people to use. We're always looking for ways we can minister to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, it's amazing how even unbelievers are listening. I don't get it, but they do. Well, praise God, because God's word doesn't return void. It accomplishes in our hearts what we sent it to do. And so as you share the word of God, and I realize, you know, I don't know, maybe you felt this way, you know, sharing the word and you just think, oh man, I wish I would have remembered this because I wanted to tell them this and I didn't. I'll tell you what, God's word doesn't return void. It will accomplish in the person's heart what he sent it to do, even if you screwed it up. That's a pretty amazing. I shared with you before, you know, Pastor Raul Ries, I mean, sometimes his messages, he really screws up the whole study. I have no idea sometimes what he was even talking about. You know, 50 people get saved. Well, how, you screwed it up. How did that happen? Because it's not Raul, it's the Lord. God's word won't return void even when we mess it up. That's the wonderful thing. Look for people you can minister to. Talk with. Just start talking with them. I mean, you don't have to, you know, go up to them and say, turn or burn. That's probably not a good thing. But hey, you look down. Are you okay? Are you okay? Is something wrong? You know, just be, show that you care for them. I look at Jesus and didn't he have compassion for people? That's what we need to do. Just show you care for them. It's amazing how people open up to you. I shared with you before, a few years back, I was having some blood work drawn, and I didn't know this person from Adam. And man, she just gave me her whole life story right there. It was incredible. And all I did was I showed that I cared. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. This opens doors. So remember that these men who were sent in to see Jericho, we're not on a reconnaissance mission looking for military secrets, how they could attack Jericho. How do I know that for sure? Well, in Joshua 2:24, when the spies came back, they said to Joshua this, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." No battle plans. The Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. The people are fearful. I see the hand of God working. And doesn't God do that with us? A little bit of encouragement. Oh, Lord, thank you. That just fired me up, man. I'll tell you, when you know we did the Wendigo Fest a few weeks back, it was just that first person talking to that first person. All of a sudden, man, you say, okay, here we go. It was great being able to share the love of Jesus Christ with people. And I think, boy, encouragement is so important. Remember, 10 spies discouraged the entire nation with a bad report. So let's encourage each other. These God sent these men in. They walked by faith and they brought the salvation of God to this woman. I believe she was already saved at this point. And we'll talk about that over the next few weeks as we look at the faith of Rahab. It's pretty amazing. She knew of the God of Israel. She had turned from the gods that her people were worshiping. She actually turned from her people because of her faith in the true and living God. Limited information she had. But this is an amazing woman. And you think, well, why did they, you know, waste their time on this woman? I mean, who is she? Rahab the harlot. I mean, come on. Why rescue her? Rahab was the great, great grandmother of King David. Wow. Didn't see that coming. We don't see anything coming, guys. Let's face it. God does. He knows what he's doing. Rahab and Solomon had a son named Boaz. Remember Boaz in the book of Ruth? Marries Ruth. They have a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse, of course, had a son named David, the future king of Israel. You see, Joshua sent these men in as spies. God really sent them in as witnesses. And often, guys, we have ideas why we're doing this or doing that, but God has a better plan. And it's usually after the fact that we see what God was doing was far better than what we thought was going to happen or what we were going to do. And Satan has brought so much confusion about Jesus today. And we have the truth, the Word of God. Let's share with people our living God, Jesus Christ, because the truth will set them free from all the lies. You don't have to try and get people out of the denomination or whatever group they're with. You need to bring them to Jesus. But I'll tell you what, there are some groups that will fight to the death for the denomination that they're in. They will live and die by it. But you share Jesus with them. God takes care of the rest. You bring them to the true and living God. You let them see that. You plant those seeds because it's that important. We're going to look at, actually next week, the faith of Rahab. And it was a little faith. But what is interesting is she puts this faith into practice. I'm reading this, I'm going, wow, Lord, you've given me so much. And this woman had so little, and yet she's walking by faith. Help me, Lord, to be more bold, to take those steps of faith. And we'll look at that next time. Let me share this with you. There was this gentleman who heard of a man at sea who was really seasick. Boat was rocking a lot. He was seasick. And he couldn't do any work for the Lord. He was just down. And while he was sick, he heard a man had fallen overboard. And he was wondering if he could do anything to help this man out, to save him. And he had a hold of this little light, and he held it up on the porthole, and the drowning man was saved. And when this man got over his attack of seasickness, he was up on deck one day, and he was talking to the man who was rescued. And the saved man gave this testimony. He said he had gone down the second time, and he was just going down again for the last time when he put out his hand. Just then, he said, someone held a light at the porthole. And the light fell on his hand. And a man caught him by the hand and pulled him into the light boat. Kind of a small thing to hold up a little light, huh? What good can it do? And yet it saved a man's life. What about us? You've seen someone who's poor, that's involved in alcohol or drugs, drowning in the bondage of sin that they're in. Can you hold up a light of Christ and let them see it? We need to take the light of Christ into homes and businesses and into this world. Because there's a world of hurting people out there. And God has called us to go to them and share our faith. Remember I said that we are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When people look at you, when they look at me, what do they see? Many, many years ago, these guys were panning for gold in Montana. And they found this unusual stone, and they broke it open, and it was pure gold. They couldn't believe there it was. And they worked eagerly, and they discovered an abundance of this precious metal, of this gold. And they were shouting with delight. They were just so excited. We found it. We found it. We're rich. They had to stop for a minute. They had to go into town and stock up on supplies. And before they left camp, the men agreed not to tell a soul about their find. As soon as they told someone, everyone would be there, right? So they didn't breathe a word about what they found to anyone. They just went into town, get their supplies, get out. And when they were getting ready to return, hundreds of men were prepared to follow them. And they said, who squealed? Who told you what we found? And they said, no one had to. Your faces showed it. What about us? Do our faces show our love for God? That joy of the Lord? What do they see when they look at our faces? Do they see Jesus? Lord, less of me, more of you, right? And think about it. If there's no joy of the Lord, if it's complaining about this and complaining about that, who wants that? There's enough of that in the world. The judgment of God is coming, and we don't know how long before it falls upon the people of this world. Our mission, guys, is to rescue them from the lies of the devil and bring them to saving faith by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful story. And Lord, from a human perspective, it doesn't make sense. We need to figure out how to defeat the enemy. Yeah, but Lord, you already said the enemy is going to be defeated. All the children of Israel had to do was walk by faith, to trust in you. And so this was a rescue mission for Rahab and her family, that they needed to be spared from the coming judgment. The city of Jericho was going to be destroyed except for this family. And Lord, look at how you use them. Lord, give us a passion for the lost, that, Lord, our eyes would look at people with a backdrop of eternity in mind. And Lord, encourage us to take those steps of faith. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.